Welcome to the Detail Solutions Podcast. My name is Alex Russell. I'm your host. You know that by now. Let's jump into it, man. It's Friday. I'm doing Q&As. Website, you guys all know it, man. The DetailSolutionsPodcast.com. It's the best website out there. It's going to have the links to anywhere you can find us on social media. Link to the Apple podcast page. Link to the Spotify podcast page. We have our preferred vendor page. That's the one that I like, because those are the people that support us just like you guys do. Although, they support us financially, and then you guys support them financially, and then we'll all have a good time, laugh it up, hashtag money, money, funny. Yeah, you know, our preferred vendors, they have little codes so you can save some money when you go and spend money with them. And we have the merch store. T-shirts for the podcast, the hats, the hoodies, the long sleeves. They're there if you guys want them, whatever. Nobody's buying them, so it's whatever. I haven't even checked on them. And then YouTube. So we're still uploading to YouTube, not going live. If you want to check us out on YouTube, it's the Detail Solutions Podcast. That's our channel. Please go like it, share it, follow, subscribe, hit the notification button, all the things that you do when you're supporting a channel. Jason's been a little busy with school, so he hasn't put up as many shorts or whatever, but hopefully we'll get those figured out here in the future, get those back up. And then we're uploading these and putting cool little thumbnails, so hopefully they're more enticing to watch for people. TikTok, we're getting close to that 1,000 mark. 786, so what's that, like 214 away. So Alex can start going live, and then watch out. So if you're not following us on TikTok, please do. It's the Detail Solutions Pod. Go follow us there. Give us a like, a subscribe, you know, whatever, all that fun stuff. Again, Jason's been busy with school, so we haven't been putting enough stuff up there. But we'll get back to it. We'll do some fun stuff or whatever. And if you want to be a guest on the show, please shoot us an email, detailsolutionspodcast@gmail.com. I should probably go check that, actually. I haven't checked it in a few days. Just drop us a line. Hey, Alex, love to be on the show. Makes my job so much easier to schedule these things out that way. Versus normally I'm panicking on Thursday, like, who's available tomorrow? Come on the show. So do that. And lastly, please go anywhere that you're listening to this. Go like, share, follow, subscribe, hit notification button so you get the the jump on the new episodes when they come out. Please leave us a review, 5-star, hopefully, anywhere that you're listening to this, Apple, Spotify, Google, yada, 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 whatever. If you do listen on Apple, it'd be great if you take a little bit of extra time and just write a few words, kind words, please. It would really boost us and make us feel good about ourselves. So, yeah, let's jump into it, man. Let's get a commercial break going on, pay some bills, and then I'll be right back with Sam from Wicked Auto Detailing. Take care. I don't know why.
Tell us about your little wheelie journey you had yesterday. How'd that go on the Viper chair?
I stole this Viper chair. A lot of people hadn't played with one, so I quite like the fact that they got a shot.
Nice.
A lot of guys were generally trying out, going, huh, these things are cool. But it was good fun, especially on this floor. Like, this is a legit carpet, and all the cables, it just
rolls right over.
Get in its stride. Yeah, well done. It's a cool chair. I like it.
How comfortable are you right now?
Very.
Yeah.
So do you think retailers should invest in a Viper chair?
You know what? My name is Alan Medcraft, and I would say go buy Viper.
Make sure to go to viperindustrial.com and at checkout, use the code DSP to save an additional $25 off your purchase. That's a stackable coupon, so whatever Viper is giving you off, get another $25 as well.
Do you own a detailing business but want to improve your success online? Or are you just starting out but not even sure where to begin? Let Detailers Roadmap guide you down the road to success. Detailers Roadmap is an all-in-one web solution for your auto detailing business. A custom website designed to help you attract and retain customers without breaking the bank. We'll write and design your website from start to finish and provide ongoing support to ensure it's working great for you. Our custom website packages include everything you need to succeed online. And with our local SEO services, we'll make sure your business gets noticed by customers in your area. So why wait? It's time to take your auto detailing business to the next level with an all-in-one website solution from Detailers Roadmap. Visit detailersroadmap.com to get started today.
All right, I'm back with Sam. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Oh, man, I'm not going to try and butcher your name. So for everybody listening, just let everybody know which Sam you are.
My name is Sam Spirer, which, yeah, I know it's kind of a strange last name, and it's been butchered many times since I was a little kid, and probably my family before that. So no worries there.
Yeah. I probably would say it right a million times, but as soon as it goes live on the microphone, I'm gonna say it all kinds of stupid ways. So yeah, so listen, man, let's jump into this. I don't really know much about you. I mean, I know we follow each other on Facebook and things like that. So you know, what's the juice, man? Where, when, how, why did you get into detailing?
Well, I moved to California about 10 years ago, and I never detailed a car really before then. In fact, I would wipe my Honda Civic that I had down with Windex and paper towels. And I went to school for auto mechanics, but I hated it. So I moved here, and I'm from Massachusetts, Boston area. Okay. And then I was like just kind of looking for a job that would actually pay for cost of living out here, and I couldn't. So a friend of mine suggested like car detailing because he had gotten into vinyl wrap and he had met a few detailers. So I was like, okay, like I can wash a car. And so I just
I got Windex and paper towels. Like I'm
I did a little bit more research this time, you know. Right. But I guess, you know, I started out on YouTube like many people do. So, you know, learning how to clay a car and what to do. And you know, I would did mobile just out of the back of my car that I had. And you know, at first I would, you know, show up with a hose and, you know, need your water and need your power. And you know, I probably did an okay job for what I was charging back then, and right. then did a not okay job on probably a fair amount of cars too.
Yeah.
Definitely a learning experience. And then I switched to rinseless wash, so no more hose or anything. Just using like a pump.
So that always seems to be a hot topic question or a hot topic, I guess, and all these things, right? Like if you have to use your client's water and electricity, you're not a real detailer or whatever. Did you ever get any like pushback or, you know, from the clients?
No one ever said, oh, that's unprofessional or nothing. Yeah. I just tell them like, you know, when I'm coming, like I need water and power or whatever, like, and I have this many feet, and they're like, okay, that's fine. But I never had any issues. Yeah, they look at me real weird when I show up with a pump sprayer and did rinseless on their car, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think detailers make a bigger deal out of it than it is. Because I don't do a lot of, like, mobile work, but I do have a few clients on Fridays that I take care of. Most everybody knows that. And, you know, they're pretty much all coated cars, so I rinseless wash them. And, you know, like, the first time I go over there and they're like, well, you know, like, you know, hose is right there if you need it. You know, you want me to pull the car out of the garage? I'm like, nah, you can leave it there. And they're like, why don't they hold my whole garage to get wet? I'm like, man, I just need like 3 gallons of water in my bucket. And they're like, what? Like, But like in California, like rinseless has got to be kind of a thing now, right? Because I mean, you guys aren't allowed to be out there
with some people, but then you see guys with vans and water tanks rolling around all day long out here too. So it's a little bit of both.
Right. But I guess the tanks are kind of okay. It's just the using water from a spigot. Cause I mean, don't you guys have water restrictions about, and stuff or whatever?
Yeah. Most cities have pretty strict water restrictions. Like they don't want, cause they don't want runoff with like soap and chemicals. Yeah. So it doesn't matter if you have a water tank or you're using a hose, like they don't want it. And sometimes like, one of my employees, when he used to have a mobile business, he had somebody's neighbor call the city on him while he was, you know, washing their car, you know, so he got fined for it. And one of my shops, a water person showed up once and was like asking me questions. I'm like, I do rinseless wash. Like, but there's guys out on the street who are washing cars with tanks, so you go talk to them. Like, so I've been harassed about it a few times, but I've never gotten a fine or anything, but they'll get you if they catch you.
Wow, that's crazy, man. Here in Florida, it's a little different. We're allowed to, I guess. I mean, I think there's still, I guess I could go around and kind of do the same thing with runoff. Cause I remember when I first left the car wash in the little dealership that I was, detailing cars for, they were a client of mine. But I was renting space from them, right? Mm-hmm. Easier for me to just go pull cars off the lot and clean them versus them having to drive to me and everything.
Yeah.
In between my retail cars. And I remember like somebody from the city came and like, dude, they came around one day and they're like pulling doors down. I'm like, what's going on? They're like, don't be washing outside right now. Like the people from the city are here. And I'm like, what's the big deal? And they're like, no, like, you know, they'll bitch about the soap and, you know, running off into the grass or whatever. I'm like, it's fine. Like I'm using, you know, like I have an eco soap, you know, like it'll be fine. They're like, no, we don't want to take any chances or whatever. They're like, just stay inside and do something inside or whatever. So, you know, and that was about the time I think I started looking into rinseless wash too. Cause then I was like, all right, well then screw it. You know, like if I don't need to pull out the pressure washer and get all soapy and everything, you know, we could stay inside with the temperature control and the fans and everything, it'd be easier.
Yeah. Rinseless was real good for mobile for me. It was definitely a cheap solution. And then with the shops I had, you know, if I wasn't able, we started out doing rinseless in one and then we do it occasionally. But once we got a pressure washer, I was like, oh, this is the life.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Sometimes I think about like how fast and easy rinseless is. But sometimes the foam in a car can be just as quick and easy too, you know.
Well, the worst part was wheels. Like, I could get a car washed and like clayed with rinseless in like 20 minutes, but it's the wheels that kill me when you're trying to clean the barrels and get in there, and you can just like kind of spray it with the pump sprayer if you got one, but it doesn't really rinse shit. So, that was the worst. That would take me the other 30, 40 minutes to do a 1 hour car wash.
Well, that's why I tell my clients, like, look, if I'm coming out and doing rinseless, like you're not getting barrels, you're getting faces, and whatever gets is all that's getting. I'm not spending, you know, cause again, it's supposed to be quick, you know, like 30 minutes, 40 minutes max, you know, for me to be there on the car, for me to be profitable or whatever. I'm like, look, you want your barrels done? You schedule an appointment at the shop with a detail wash, and then we'll spend 20 or 30 minutes alone just on the wheels.
Yeah, exactly.
You got like 8 different brushes to get in in the wheels and everything.
What drives me crazy about wheels is everyone's really picky about clean wheels, but the minute they drive away, they're covered in brake dust again.
Yeah.
But they have to be perfect when the customer picks up the car.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, man. Like, I don't know if I'm fortunate or lucky, but I've never had a client that was like all in on his wheels like that, you know. Like most of them are just like looking at the paint, they don't even look at the wheels and tires. Like I did my buddy's truck this week. He bought a brand new F-150 trimmer, so you know, like it's a little bit jacked up, you know, the bigger wheels on it.
And
he was getting it coated, you know, and I was like, you know, the wheels are pretty clean. I'll just hit the faces real quick, you know, for him. I'm not going to charge him any extra. Like he was already paying me pretty good on the truck. So, you know, and I had a little bit extra time to kill before I had to go pick the kid up from school. So I was like, I'll just hit his wheels real quick, you know. And he comes back and he's all looking at like the body of the truck and everything. Like he didn't even look at the wheels. And I was like, hey, I went ahead and hit your wheels for you. He's like, oh shit, man, I didn't even notice how clean they look. Like, you know, like, so I don't know. Maybe I'm just lucky.
Yeah, dude, we have like, I mean, I don't know if people just don't share stuff, but we have like some of the weirdest and pickiest customers.
Yeah.
Like we actually have someone coming next week who their specific complaint about their last detailer was that they didn't do a good job on the wheels. So
wow.
my car wash guy will have his work cut out for him when that car comes in to make sure those are perfect. So
jeez. Yeah, that's I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I try to make sure I get them as good as I can, but you're right. It's like, you know, they're just going to go down the street and they're just going to get covered in, because that's what I'm learning now with the Audi that I have. It's got the freaking matte black wheels.
Yeah.
So like, I'll clean them, make them look really nice and everything like that. And then I live like 4 miles away from the shop and I drive home and I get out and get in the garage. And I'm like, why? You know?
Yeah. When I used to like actually work on cars all the time, like I would hate when people would come in with like BBS mesh wheels and like the BMW like crazy factory wheels.
Oh yeah.
Like just give me like 5 flat spokes on like a truck or something and I'm happy.
Yeah, exactly.
Thankfully
yeah.
The wheels on my car are flat face too, so they're pretty easy to clean.
Okay. Nice. So starting out and doing the rentless and everything like that, like how long did you from being mobile until you got into your first shop?
So it was like 2 years of mobile. And then we started doing cars for a performance shop around here that would have like, you know, nice cars come in and they did like lowering kits and air ride and all that stuff. And we sublease there's some space eventually from their second warehouse that they rented in the complex, and so that kind of got me my like first shop environment, and then from there we moved to another building of our own and probably would have stayed there a while if I could have, but the landlord didn't like that we were washing cars, so they wouldn't renew our lease. So I jumped into a sublease with someone else, and that turned out to just be like a mega disaster, like straight out of a movie, crazy situation over there.
Oh, wow.
Dude was a crazy con artist, and I just ended up in the middle of this like craziness, so that was wild.
Right.
And then from there, I jumped into a bad partnership out of desperation to find a place after we got screwed on the last place. And we had that shop for a while until that whole thing went to shit. And then I had to go back to being mobile for a little while after that. So I just basically started over doing it out of the back of a car until a friend of mine gave me some money to get a Honda Ridgeline truck that I could use I found on the Jeep. And then after that, we got back into I rented some space with my friend who was the one who had suggested I start detailing years ago at his shop. And then we outgrew that. And then last year, we found a 5-year lease on a big old shop here in Santa Ana, California. That's our biggest shop yet. And, you know, we've got security now and it's, you know, things are just we grew as soon as we moved into here because it was the biggest space we've had. So.
Nice. How big? How many square feet is it?
It's 5,000. We have probably about 3,500 warehouse, and we have like a glass showroom that shoots out into the lobby, which is cool. It was like a glass office, but we knocked the wall down behind it and turned it into like a showroom that will be a PPF room at some point. We tried to do it originally because we have like curtains that close, but the ceiling drops too much dust. So we have to redo the ceiling. So now we just do paint correction in there, stick cars in there to show off to customers. And we have probably have like 1,000 to 1,500 square feet of like lobby and office and stuff. That's like really I have cool. A whole room where my plotter is for cutting PPF and weeding stuff out. And then we've got a few offices, break room, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, no, that's nice. Yeah, that seems to be what some of the bigger shops are getting into, like that 5,000 kind of square foot range. And you know, most of the guys I know are like in that 1,500 to 2,000.
That's where I used to be, you know. Yeah. about 1,500 to 2,000 square feet, and which is great for one to three man operation. You know, you've got owner still operating, and you know, I guess it depends on whether you pay your employees good or not. You know, it's not enough to sustain like true living wages, at least in California, on employees in that space. Like you just couldn't get work out fast enough and do it like quality, or, you know, if you want to be like just the owner operator and keep your overhead really low, like those are perfect if you don't mind, if you like the work. But if you want to like grow past that, you really need like 3,500 and up to, you know, be able to step away and have like a full staff.
Yeah. How many employees do you have working with you?
We have 3 full-time guys. We've been through a numerous amount of, you know, salespeople and other employees. We have a good list of subcontractors that either do services that we outsource, or they're just backup PPF installers for who used to do our PPF all the time before we brought it in-house. And when we get backed up on PPF, we bring them in.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. I know that's kind of like, it seems to be some of the way to go is contracting out. I mean, that's what I try to do for PPF now. Cause I just got, it was too much for me. Like it stressed me way too much.
Definitely is. I tell everybody, no one ever complains about ceramic coating, but everyone has something to say about PPF and like crazy expectations. And we burn through money all the time replacing stuff that someone just like, we don't want to be like, no, and be dicks about it if it's like a good customer, but they just like won't let up, you know, that this one little piece of debris in a corner that they can't even see is, you know, the end of the world. So
yeah, and that was the thing, like I never had a client that, you know, complained about debris or, you know, if something was off just a scotch or whatever.
Oh, you're lucky, bro. I'm telling you, we get all the picky people.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like I was doing a ton anyways, you know. I mean, I probably did maybe, you know, 15 cars or something like that in my brief.
With volume comes more problems. Like we definitely, you know, instead of having a problem customer once every 2-3 months, it's, you know, 4 a month because the volume is increased substantially.
My issue was like weeding stressed me out, plotting stressed me out.
Oh, I like that stuff. That's my job here.
And then, you know, and then you just, you're friends with like some of the best, right? Like Mike Norg and Tony Kiger and, you know, some of these other guys, you know, and then it's like the stress of like, okay, I got to be perfect like them, you know?
But most people's work is not perfect. Like we have, there's like probably in Southern California, like between all the shops, like performance shops that subcontract and then all the other detail and tint and wrap shops out, there's probably 1,000 installers down here and maybe like 10% of them do a good job.
Yeah.
Like, and like I said, we get real picky customers. So like sometimes we see work from other shops and we're like looking at the customer, like, how did you not complain about this? Like, cause this would have not have flown coming out to like any of my customers. So, it gets pretty crazy and intense, but the market really shifted to PPF. Like, you know, as we see, like coatings is a real battle, you know, to get what they're worth because everything's been so saturated. But film, being that the product is so insanely expensive, has really maintained kind of the real market value. And even some of the lesser quality films, like the 5-year ones versus the 10-year ones, they're like $100 to $150 bucks less a roll. And you can't even really justify giving that much of a price break when you're still paying virtually the same for material. So it's like we've called around, you know, shopped like 30 of the 5-star shops around here. And for like front ends, you know, which is obviously like the common coverage, like people were roughly the same, a few cheap shops, but they were like owner operator. So that was all, you know, so a $1,500 front end will put food on the table all day long for a guy who he's the only worker. But everyone else was like, you know, within reason. Full car pricing a little low for my liking, especially with how, like, I mean, we disassemble everything here. So you know, on a G-Wagon or a TRX, like our disassembly bill for our guy who comes in and does that stuff with, you know, without any hassle, can on those two cars in particular is like $900 in disassembly and reassembly labor to get it done, you know. You know, you could maybe dive into that as a shop owner, but you know, you don't want to break stuff or anything. Like I've been using this guy for years and he does everything like perfectly. We've for the most part. We never have any rattles or comebacks for random stuff. Yeah. Like, he doesn't forget to put shit back together.
Is he like a mechanic, or is he just...
He used to do car audio. So he would have to, you know, absolutely take whole cars apart, interiors and everything to get the, you know, wire stuff up. So, and then he just became, he worked as a disassembly and wrap guy at a vinyl wrap shop for a long time too. And now he just kind of is he's the go-to guy for all the shops around here. Like, he just gets subcontracted to come take cars apart.
That's a pretty good job to have if you're good at, you know, taking stuff apart and putting it back together again.
Yeah, I mean, some of it's a pain, dude. Like, some of these newer cars that he hasn't done before, like we had an Audi e-tron GTRS in here for like a full color change, and it took him all day to get that car apart. And then we learned stuff along the way with stuff like that, where like you have to, after you put the car back together, and you like, cause now the mirrors and everything have so many cameras and sensors, like it needs to be go to the dealer and be hooked up to a scan tool afterwards. Yeah. So it costs the customer more than they were thinking. Cause it's just, you know, we can't do anything about it unless we, you know, shelled out for a scan tool, but those are expensive for the ones that actually work. So
Yeah, no, I remember I was talking with when I had Tony Kiger on one time, and he was talking, you know, because, you know, he'll pull anything apart. And I'm like, dude, like, you know, doesn't it worry you? Like, you know, you're pulling apart these, like, you know, $500,000 cars, $1 million Ferraris or whatever. And he's like, somebody had to put it together. So he's like, why can't somebody pull it apart? And I'm like,
it's scary.
Yeah, I guess so.
But if you're comfortable and you've got all the tools on deck, you know, it's good. Like, you know, my guy, like, you can tell when he's taking cars apart, you can tell that some of these cars were not made to be taken apart again, like with the location of bolts and stuff. Like, for me, like, I could take apart Teslas all day long. It takes me like 15 minutes to take all the trims and taillights and everything off of a Tesla, all the rubbers and the doors and stuff. But anything else, I'm not touching. Some cars I can do door handles on, and then other cars, it's like the same thing, but something slightly different. And then I just can't figure it out. So I just like, I'm not breaking anything right now. I've had to pay for enough broken stuff over the years.
Right. So let me ask you this: with the guy that comes out, if he breaks something, is it like kind of covered in like what you're paying him that he pays for it, or the
like if something's damaged, like our subcontractors will take care of it, whether they give us money off the next job or whatever. So it factors into like whatever cost of parts, or if we got to paint something. It's pretty rare that that happens. I don't think he's actually ever specifically damaged anything other than like breaking clips, and then you got to go buy new clips.
I think Tony said he just used to always carry clip or like buy a bunch of like clips and just have them, you know, in the shop, unless it was like something, you know, crazy or whatever, and then they could just run to the dealership, because he said usually dealerships got clips on hand.
The TRX, when you take the vents out of the hood, the giant vents, like, you're gonna break at least like 3 or 4 of those, because it's really hard to get that shit out.
I don't know, that's crazy, but that's cool that I never even thought about, like, you know, like having somebody that would just come and take it apart for you or whatever. That's a pretty cool.
Customers start asking like, oh, are you going to wrap all the edges? Oh, are you going to get behind the door handle? And I'm like, oh shit, like, I got to figure this out. So I just was like, who do I know that can take stuff apart? And I was like, oh, that guy. And I met him along the way, like doing work at the shop that he used to work at. So I was like, oh, I'll just give him a call, and he'll come down after hours and stuff and get it done. But yeah, like, customers have such high expectations for like visibility. And so sometimes when I hear these low quotes, especially on like exotic cars or whatever, I'm like, there's no way that they're taking the car apart. You're going to see a seam here. Like, there's no way for that price that they're doing this. Like, that's too crazy. Like certain cars, like Ferrari 488, customer's trying to say he found it for like $1,000 cheaper, and I'm like, no way. Like, and he's like, oh yeah, and they're taking the badges off the front and rear bumper. I'm like, so for, you know, that much money, they're gonna drop both bumpers on your car, because you need to drop the bumpers to get the badges off of the on that car. You can't just pop it off like the 458. So I'm like, they're gonna do it in that price? I highly doubt it. Like, they're just gonna give you a cutout or something.
Yeah.
They're definitely not getting the same thing that they
they are. And it's crazy too, because I've got a client that just he had a F8 Tributo Spider, and he just got rid of it a little while back or whatever. But he ordered a black one, and then decided he wanted to do the stealth PPF on it. So he was like, you know, asking me, and this was Tony was still working over at Ultimate Auto. So I asked Tony, I said, hey, like, what do you charge to do, you know, an F8? And he's like, dude, it's probably gonna be like 10 grand to, like, you know, drop the bumpers and get everything done right, you know, especially on a stealth wrap or whatever. So, like, I told my client, he's like, and I'm like, it's a $500,000 car. Like, what are you griping about, you know? And so he ends up having the dealership have their guy do it or whatever. Cool. He's like, dude, they did the window tint, the PPF, and like something else for like $6,000. He's like, I got a deal. And I go over and I look at it. And so, like, you know, the it's got that weird scoop in the hood.
Yeah.
So, like, there's cutouts, like, where it, you know, like, bends and twists.
Yeah.
So there's like glossy paint there. And I'm like, bro, I'm like, they can't like bend it or stretch it or whatever right there. So there's a cutout. I was like, that looks like shit. He's like, oh
yeah.
I didn't even notice that. And then I'm like all around the emblem, like the Ferrari, like the pony emblem in the back or the horse emblem in the back was probably like an eighth of an inch gap all the way around it from where they did the cutout. Like all the where the bumper met the rear quarter panel, there was a gap on
both sides.
I'm like, dude, this thing's like, he's like, oh man. So he takes it back and he like bitched about the hood in the front. So they just cut out the pieces and seamed it. And I'm like, that looks even worse. And I'm like, dude, it's like, that's what you get for being cheap, man. Like,
yeah. I mean, we saw that recently, like an X5M came in for a ceramic coating on his wrap. He'd already had it stealth wrapped. And there was just like gaps everywhere because he got it done for like $5,000 at the dealer. Like, yeah. Gaps are there, bubbles popping up. Like, because that's what they do. They just use like the cheapest guy possible who's just slapping like a silly kit on there that he's not extending the edges on. And so we actually have a X5M competition in here right now for full gloss PPF. And he was like, oh, well, the dealer said they're going to do it for $5,000. I'll be like, let me tell you about this X5M that just came in and paid that $5,000, because you're going to change your mind. So he ended up coming in here to do it instead of paying the full price.
Damn, that's nice. Listen, let's jump into a commercial break real quick. And
you got it.
We'll come back. We'll talk some more. We'll be right back. Fiber has every pad you would need, including tire pads, towels, got them, windows, wheels, interiors, paint, the all new Mint on a Stick for hitting taller vehicles, or the new Bug Sponge for fronts. And then we have the Dragon Wash Sponge Mitt. It's perfect for the two bucket system, glides on the cars, easy, soft on the paint. Hey, don't forget, go watch us on YouTube. Check out our channel. And in the barrel blade, it's perfect for getting in between those tight wheels, calipers. We also have the Dreadknot. It's the staple of all auto fiber towels. If you're not using it to dry, you're missing out. And in the new wheel pawl for getting those faces, getting in between spokes, getting the lug nuts, all those hard to reach places. So go to autofiber.com. Make sure to use the code DSP at checkout.
Hey everybody, Rennie Doyle here, founder of the Detail Mafia and Detailing Success. You know, I love quotes, and this is one of my favorites. It's not enough to do your best. You must know what to do, then do your best. There's a lot more to detailing than just making paint shiny. To be successful, you need to be a well-rounded detailer, and most importantly, an entrepreneur. At Detailing Success, I really take pride in that we will not only teach you the highest level detailing skills you need, but we will mentor and coach you to be a profitable business owner. Our advanced 5-day training is held monthly at my hometown, in the beautiful town, I may say, of Big Bear Lake, California. If you want to learn more, email me directly at rennie@detailingsuccess.com or visit detailingsuccess.com and ask about our special offer for our podcast listeners. Happy detailing, everybody. Take care. We'll see you next time.
So you primarily like PPF and coatings, or you kind of, we do everything?
We do everything. Like our whole, obviously we started out detailing and then it turned into paint correction and ceramic coatings. And then it just kind of evolved and, you know, PPF tint. And then, you know, I've got a powder coater, caliper painter, you know, curb rash repair guy. We work with a bunch of body shops for paint work and custom stuff. We do vinyl wraps. So yeah, but our bread and butter is PPF, ceramic coating, and window tint. That's like our most common ticket here. Whether it's front end, full car, whatever. That's pretty much all we do here. It's been a little slow the last couple of weeks on the PPF end. We've been doing more coatings this month. Like, I haven't spent nearly as much on PPF as we usually do.
Oh, wow.
But it's been a weird year this year for sure, as far as business goes.
Been a weird year for everybody.
Yeah, like, and no one wants to admit it. You know, like everyone's like, "Oh, I'm booked out," you know, this far. And it's like, no, you're not. Even when we were like cranking out work, it was still like 2 weeks at a time. Like last summer, we moved into this shop, and the first month we were here in June, we more than doubled our best month ever. Like, I used to do like between 40 and 60,000 a month, and we hit 135,000 in June. Wow. And then the next month it was like 120, then 115, 105, and then after September it just dropped, and we've had trouble. We get between like 70 and 100 but with our whatever's going on in the country right now, recession, you know, people being scared, whatever, is over, we're going to be right back up at 130 plus. Like, I already know, because our marketing is tight and everything. But yeah, it's been a break even year mostly, because I mean, we have high overhead here in California. This shop ain't cheap, and my staff makes six figures, and we got really good insurance and all that good stuff, and we carry the best materials for everything, so we spend a lot on that stuff. So it's a pretty expensive business to run. So, but it's definitely been a weird year. But I just wanted to give a message to everyone: if you feel like, you know, you're not doing well, but everyone else looks like they're doing well, they're not. Everyone's like 2 weeks busy, 2 weeks not busy. I know this because I still have a bunch of subcontractors who work for all of our competitors, and they tell me, you know, that shop was busy last week, they're slow this week. Like, you know, it's everyone. So don't feel singled out or anything.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, dude. Because I mean, like, you see it on Facebook all the time. Like, you know, I'm booked out till 2030, you know, like, you know?
I got a friend who, he's really nice. He's a really good guy, but he's always like, "Oh yeah, I'm booked out like 3 months." And then we had one of his subcontractors hitting us up for work, and I was like, I thought he was booked out like 3 months. He's like, "No." He's like, "Why do you think I'm hitting you up?" Like, he's never booked out 3 months. I'm like, "Oh, I got you." Like, you know,
And that's the thing. Like, I, you know, I've got a couple of buddies that call me every now and then, like panicking. And I'm like, dude, like, it's not just you. Like, calm down. And they're like, "Yeah, but everybody on
don't care either.
Yeah, they're like, "Everybody on Facebook." And I'm like, "Dude, everybody on Facebook's full of shit." Like, I talk to a lot of detailers, and everybody's like, you know, I mean, I've even talked to some of the guys who are, you know, like big, and they're like, "Dude, we're slow." You know, I mean, they're still doing a lot of money, but again, like, when you're
a lot compared to little guys, but not a lot to compared to like the shops like mine, where like your overhead is insane, you know?
Right. But even like you were saying, right? Like, you did 130 and then you did 120. Like, 120 is still a lot, but it's not 130, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's a $10,000 difference. Like, that's, you know,
we had a $30,000 difference this year between July and August. And in July, we got right back up close to 100. And then August, we did like 60. And it was like atrocious. Like, I'm like, what is going on? Like, we're down literally 30 grand from last month. Like, for no, everybody's just, you know, price shopping and stuff. We get plenty of leads. There's no shortage of phone calls or leads coming in here, but it's just selling everybody. That's the tough part right now, because they're not sure if they want to spend money. And obviously it's a really competitive industry, so they're calling around and you're getting distracted and all that.
It's also that like weird time of the year. Like, I mean, I don't know about how it is out there, but I mean, you know, like
school starts, college tuition is being paid, school supplies,
you know, holidays,
last minute vacation,
you know, the end of the year, all that stuff that, you know, people are starting to put money away for, you know, for Christmas and New Year's and Thanksgiving and all that stuff. So it's always like a weird time. I always think when August hits, because school starts here like second week of August.
Yeah, it starts so early now compared to when we were kids. Jesus.
Right. So it's like, okay, August is coming, school's gonna start. Like now it really becomes kind of like an up and down kind of thing, you know, like where you could be real busy for a couple of weeks and then dead for a couple of weeks and busy for a couple of weeks. You just it's almost like this time of year you don't really know. It's hard to track it, because even if you go off of last year, you know, it's like, you know, well, we were busy at this point last year and we're dead, you know. And
yeah, we can't compare to previous years. It's always different, like especially if you're growing, you're moving around, doing stuff like that. It's never going to be consistent until you're like in the same spot. But the pandemic was crazy. That was like the, you know, for at that time we made a killing. I was mobile during that, so we lucked out. I had no overhead, and we were driving every day, doing like $1,500 a day in correction and coding. You know, and we go and knock out a car in like 5-6 hours, like me and one guy at someone's garage because they're home all day. They got money, whatever,
working
from home, unemployment. And we were killing it and during that. And there was no traffic on the roads either. Yeah, so it was in and out, super easy. But you can't compare to that time because everyone in the car industry blew up during COVID.
Right, exactly.
And now it's all trailed
it's
off.
It's almost like you have to go back to like 19.
Yeah.
And you have to compare your growth from your growth at 19. So yeah, you're probably down. That's what I was telling my buddy. I was like, dude, you could be down from like 2021, 22, because those years you kind of have to throw away. Like, what are you up over 19? Right.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of like back to the norm in a sense. So yeah, it's, I don't know. It's weird. I'm just glad that I have my small little ass tiny shop with super low overhead, dude.
Yeah.
Just go in, knock out a couple of things, be done.
Depends
with
on
it.
If you still like doing the work, you know.
Yeah,
I print PPF, I talk to customers, do social media. I don't work on cars anymore. So, and I just don't like, I don't like doing it anymore. It just got tiring after 10 years. So I chose to do the entrepreneur path and try to, you know, grow and scale a big business. So you know, we can,
but that's good though, because then you're not, you know, like, you know, I'm gonna give a shout out to Christy Giovanni today. You know, he kind of kicked me in my ass a little bit today, because you know, with the whole thing with Aquatech, I've slacked on, you know, having him update my website and remove all the C-Quartz professional stuff and put the Aquatech stuff on there. And you know, so he messaged me today and he's like, dude, what the hell? Like, why aren't we, you know? And I'm like, man, I'm busy, just get caught up, you know? And he's like, dude, you got to be a businessman. You just can't be a detailer. Right.
Yeah.
So like, that's cool that you're doing that, because, you know, that's the trap that I always kind of fall into. And that's why, you know, one of Rennie Doyle's quotes, you know, always sticks to me. And I try to do my best with it, but sometimes it's hard, is, you know, where he says you got to stop being a detailer and start being an entrepreneur, you know. And it's,
yeah,
when you're in the shop, it's hard to be the entrepreneur, because you got to be the detailer, right? And like, that's the way that I do it. So I think that's great that you're doing all of the entrepreneur stuff and let your staff.
It hurts, definitely, you know, when you don't have a good month and you still got to take care of everybody. You know, I don't always get a paycheck. It sucks sometimes, but that's, you know, and it can be stressful. But I'd rather this than like working on cars every day.
Yeah.
But you just got to find like good people, which is tough. But what you do is you find someone who has their own business that does a good job, but their business is slow and they're too afraid to sink into marketing or whatever. And then you hire them at like a good wage, and they're happy because they can earn what they might have earned in a day after the fact and expenses and everything.
Right.
But they don't have to worry about anything. And then they treat it real. They do like, you know, owner quality, because they feel like they're being compensated properly, which is what we do here. And so that's, you just got to kind of start with that. And then you just have to like take the plunge and not be afraid to sink the money into the marketing, to upgrade from, you know, to double the rent you're paying now. You just kind of have to do it. And then it just kind of, I mean, obviously you have to be doing things right. Don't just jump into a big space and expect that everyone's going to come to your shop.
But Sam told me to double everything. Yeah. And I'm sinking now. Yeah.
If you have everything in order and all your marketing and stuff, then, you know, you're just going to keep on growing. And then you have more space. You take in more cars. And then it just keeps going from there. But yeah, it's definitely tough. But I see lots of people get stuck and they're just like doing, you know, $5,000-$10,000 a month mobile detailing. They're not really getting anywhere. They're not spending money on marketing, or they're trying to do it themselves and just wasting money on ads because, you know, that stuff's tough to do. I do that on the side for Facebook and Instagram. And, you know, I also do Google ads and SEO and stuff for companies outside of my area. Like I've got a client in Texas right now who we just made a big improvement on his business with some Google ads and SEO. So if you're doing everything right, then you're going to be successful. But it's tough, and you definitely need some like mentoring to go with that too. You know, I've learned a lot of stuff over the years, both getting humbled and, you know, through seeking out the help as well. Like I've taken classes and I've read lots of books on sales and psychology, and it's really helped a lot to get me to where I am now.
No, that's cool. And I think one of the important things that you said that maybe a lot of people aren't is, you know, you said that you pay your employees very well. And I think, you know, that's kind of the thing, you know, it sounds like, right? Like people are always worried, or they're always afraid, like, well, I'm going to hire this guy and I'm going to train him and then he's going to leave me, right? Well, yeah, if you're probably paying him shitty and he sees like how much money's coming in and you're paying him shit and, you know, yeah, he's going to do that. But if you're paying them well, you know, and they're going to be like, well, I don't want all this fucking headache and hassle and whatever, he's paying me well, like then there's no point in me leaving. And then you get a great employee that, you know, like you said, that's going to treat our own owner quality because they're making, you know, better than they're going to get anywhere else, you know, kind of deal. And I think that's another thing that a lot of people don't look at.
Yeah, everyone, you know, forgets that, like, you don't want to work for nothing. So why would someone else? Like, I hated working hourly jobs before I had my own business. It was terrible. But yeah, no, we pay everybody well. We buy them lunch every time we can. We, you know, we do staff events and stuff, and we try to just keep everybody happy, and that keeps the workplace happy. And they see and know, like, you got to tell them, you know, what goes into running the business, so, you know, they understand. You know, because, yeah, a guy who's getting paid $15 an hour on like a $2,000 paint correction or something, he's going to be like, well, he's getting $2,000. Why am I only getting $15 an hour? Which in some cases might be fair, you know, depending on how much work you do. But also, you know, he has to understand that $2,000 isn't all going in your pocket after you've paid out your cost.
Right, right. Yeah.
And the, you know, if you have a shop, then obviously you have a daily operating expense, you know, however much it costs you per day to keep.
And then you got to pay him out of that, you know, and if it takes
pay taxes, him, you know, 10, pay 15, payroll taxes, hours, all that shit, it all adds up. So
are your employees like W-2 employees, or do you 1099 them, or
how do you 1099 some and then W-2 others? Okay. It doesn't, as long as you're following whatever laws in your state, which in California for 1099, you're no longer allowed to just be 1099. You have to have an LLC or a corporation to do that legally.
Yeah, I think that's the same in Florida.
Some states don't care. So it's one of that. And then obviously all of our contractors that we come in for other stuff are 1099. You know, for years I subcontracted PPF and everything because it was easier. And then you don't have to guarantee them work every day, you know.
Right.
And that's can be a way to kind of get things going, is to find a contractor to help you. You still make, like, you know, if we sold front ends for back then, we would make $400 to $800 a front end, but we wouldn't be responsible for film or mess ups, just calling them to be like, hey, customer, call back, there's a problem, come in and fix it. And, you know, you don't have to touch the car. So, you know, the best kind of work is the work you don't have to do, that you still collect money on.
Absolutely. And that's what I loved about finding a PPF guy to sub out to, is because I'll call him up and be like, hey man, you know, client's asking, you know, this car, this year, this make, this model, whatever, you know, full front end or whatever, you know? And he's like, retail price, your price, right? Or wholesale price or whatever. Yeah. So
I mean, you sell for whatever you want. It's
up yeah. To- yeah. You know, so I can, like you said, I can typically make anywhere between, you know, $400 or $500, $600 on the job, you know, cause he's obviously going to come and tie up my shop. And while he's doing that, I can't really work, you know,
but, yeah.
You know, but if it takes him, you know, half a day or whatever to do a full front end or whatever, but I'm making, you know, $400, $600 off the job, like, who am I to complain?
Some of them are really fast. Like one of my guys, he has a crew. They can knock out two. They could do, if he has his whole crew there and the cars are prepped, they can do like 3 to 5 front ends in a day. They could wrap 2 full car Teslas in a day in like 2.5 hours each.
Yeah.
Because they're so easy. You know, and then my guys here, my full timers, they were at the point where they could, if they really focused on it, that we could do 3 Tesla front ends in a day with them too. Okay. And then maybe the next day we're sealing a few edges and stuff, but ultimately, you know, so you can still, so you, if the faster your guys get, you know, the, cause obviously some of us are really fast at paint correction after doing it for so many years, and other guys are like, how I spend, you know, 40 hours on this car. How'd you do it in 4, you know?
Yeah.
What to do.
Yeah.
So, cause yeah, you can know what you're doing and work really fast and do a lot of volume. And still pump out good quality work. Like I'm sure some people listening to this are probably like, oh, $135,000 a month. Like, I bet the quality wasn't that great. He's a volume shop or whatever. We are a volume shop, but we figured out how to be a volume shop that puts out good quality product because we didn't want anyone to say anything bad about us. So we just got really good at it. And you just get really efficient and figure stuff out. And and that's how you get there. So,
right. And well, realistically, I mean, if you're doing PPF and tent on top of your detailing stuff, I mean, a 6-figure a month shop is kind of a no brainer. I mean, yeah. it's everything
to get there, though. Like,
you see, yeah,
a lot of people get stuck, you know, in like the 30 to 50 range. And then depending on where they're at and their overhead, you know, it might not be that, they might still be making a decent salary, but to get, I think, into like the 100K club, at least in like a place like Florida or California, where there's just so much competition compared to like Midwest, where there's less people, it's pretty hard in these types of areas to hit those numbers.
Yeah, there is. But I mean, I still think if you're, you know, once you introduce PPF and window tent to your detailing, you know, you're automatically, you know, increasing your income.
Oh, yeah.
By 6 figures. So, you know, it's, you know, I don't think it's a hard thing to do. You know, again, like you said, it does take a little bit of time to kind of get there and grow it and market it and everything. But once you become that, it's an easy thing to maintain. And yeah, I mean, you know, you can be a volume shop, but you know, you could still maintain, you know, that level of quality too.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, who's the guy in Atlanta, the badass PPF guy?
I don't know. I don't pay enough attention to that. Like tons of all these. Dude, like,
I'd love to get him on the show. I'm brain farting on his name right now, but like, dude, he's like what you were saying, like him and his guys can go and knock out like, you know, a front end in like, you know, 2 hours or something like that. You know, like they could do a whole car in like 4 hours or whatever, because they've been doing it for so long and they're so good at it, you know, that, you know, you can knock that stuff out and just be absolutely amazing at it. Tim something or other is his name, I believe. Whatever. Let's jump into our last commercial break, man, and we'll come back and wrap this up. We'll be right back.
If you have not yet tried Oberg's new APS soap, now is your chance to receive 15% off by using coupon code DSP, all capital letters. Oberg's new all-purpose soap is perfect for all your exterior washing needs. This unique formula combines plant-based cleaning power that is effective and versatile. Whether you are mobile washing or maintaining a ceramic-coated vehicle, APS soap works quickly and rinses easily. This super concentrated formula can also be used on really tough bugs and is very effective in dirty door jams. To find out more, please visit oberkcarcare.com.
Attention detail shop owners, say goodbye to the hassle of multiple orders from all different suppliers. Car Supplies Warehouse is here to revolutionize your shopping experience. We have created a comprehensive online platform where you can find everything you need all in one place. We are constantly expanding our product range, adding new supplies, tools, and equipment. Our goal is to make Car Supplies Warehouse your ultimate one-stop shopping destination. And we don't just stop at providing top quality products. We understand that knowledge is crucial for running a successful business. This is why we offer over 100 online videos specifically tailored to educate and empower businesses like yours. So grow your skills and run a successful business with our online training courses. We take our commitment to education even further by providing in-person training classes. Our expert instructors will guide you through hands-on sessions, sharing their wealth of knowledge and helping you take your shop to new heights. We also have an awesome discount program that ties everything together really nice. Enjoy exclusive benefits and saving as a Car Supplies Warehouse member. Join DetailWise Pro under the Save and Learn tab on our website, carsupplieswarehouse.com, and experience the advantages firsthand. And for a limited time only, we are offering a special deal just for Detail Solutions podcast listeners. Sign up for DetailWise Pro using code PRO30, and you're going to enjoy 30 days of free access and free discounts. There's no obligation. You can cancel anytime. So come discover what you've been missing.
All right, for all the people who probably weren't yelling either at the video or their phone, it's Tim Ham. Tim Ham is the guy in Atlanta that's like just supposed to be so badass. Killing it. He does like crazy money, apparently, from what I've been told. But all right, so now on to the three questions as we wrap up this episode. So the first one, is the one that I think is probably the best one is when did you realize your worth? Like when was that moment? You know, like I always tell people, it's usually when you're like slaving away on a $200 detail 4 days in and you're like, I'm not getting paid enough for this. Like, you know, it's your moment when you're like, I need to be charging more. I'm worth more than this. But when was that moment for you where you realized, you know, like I'm worth more than this.
I think when I really learned how to do paint correction the real way instead of like the YouTube way. Uh-huh. And then I was like, wow, this is a lot of work to actually like sit here and get everything out. And then around that time was, you know, when I started doing ceramic coatings too. So that was like, all right, like no more, you know, somebody wants like the $299 detail, wash clay, whatever, protection, quick interior, like that's cool. And we still have like cheap price stuff like that, you know, $299 detail.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it was probably around when I started doing the paint correction and coating. And then once I got overhead, I was like, all right, now I really need to make some money.
Yeah. Especially that big ass building you got. Like,
oh yeah.
Yeah. I can imagine. Okay. And then the fun question is, you know, it's WrestleMania, it's Friday night boxing, whatever, like, you know, you're coming down to the ring. You know, what's that song that plays that not only hypes you up, but lets everybody know who you are?
Oh, man, that's a really tough one, I would say. I don't think I actually have a song, because most of the time in my shop, somebody's playing something crazy. We just hired this guy who like seems to really like club music. So it's like Club Wicked up in here every day. And I don't know. I don't really have like a song. It's just something fast paced to, you know, get you through the day.
That's good. And then the smart list question, so this is kind of like a take on the, where do you see yourself in 5 years kind of deal. So, you know, if you could, you know, snap your fingers, wiggle your nose, like what, make a wish, whatever, and have your business exactly where you want it to be, whether it's, you know, whether that is in a year, 5 years, 10 years, what does that look like? What does it look like to have your business exactly where you want it?
Well, when I started scaling, my goal was to sell the business. So we're actually working on that right now. So before 5 years, it could be sold for, you know, a fair amount of money. And then I have other things that I have one idea that I can't share, you know, because I don't want anyone taking it. It's still kind of niche. And then the other thing that I'm work that I do on the side that I've been trying to build for, you know, when this place is gone is I do marketing stuff specifically for this industry or whatever else. So if people need like SEO, Google Ads, Facebook, you know, social media management, that kind of stuff, or YouTube setup, because I actually have my own YouTube channel that's monetized. I do that. And then I also am getting into like business coaching because I found that I really like to teach people how to get their business and get them unstuck. So I have, you know, been doing that as well. So, you know, if anybody needs coaching and they want to grow their business, I can help take you from, you know, $5,000 a month out of your sedan to a big old shop like what I have. So that's kind of what's in the future related to detailing for me and probably get out of the actual business itself.
Right. Yeah. Get out of the physical labor part of it and get into more of the business side of it.
Yeah.
The knowledge and everything like that. Yeah. Cause that's what I was going to ask you when you said like selling the business. I was like, well, shit, like, what do you do from there? Then, you know, like you're going to go like, okay, go start it all over again.
But the first thing I'm going to do is take a vacation to really figure that out. I mean, honestly, like in 10 years, I've never taken more than like a couple of days off. Like I haven't gone for a vacation, take a week off, nothing. Cause it was never possible. Like you just were just always grinding, always working. So, take a time off to be with my family, think about stuff. And I'm a big fan of not working. So just figuring out stuff that's like passive income or minimal labor or responsibility on my end is kind of my goal. But help other people get to, you know, lots of people, you know, they love this industry. So, and I know a lot of stuff. So I want to help people get there and kind of coach people through that and just life stuff too. Cause I've been through a lot in my personal life also with everything. So, YouTube is like whatever. I have like 300 like actual detailing videos and stuff. And then like 600 plus like shorts. I don't really post like full length videos anymore. Because it's just so much effort for minimal views. I have like 6,000 subscribers or so.
I've gotten to the point now where like, you know, TikToks are getting longer. You know, I think they got like 10-minute ones now.
Yeah, I saw that.
And I'm to the point now where I'm like 30 seconds in and I'm like, it's fine. You know, like I don't even care to finish watching the video. I'm just like, I'm over it. Like, unless it's a really good one and
I'll
pay attention. But like, I've gotten to the point now where I feel like my attention span for a lot of things has just gotten so short.
Yeah, I can't watch people like sit there watching YouTube videos. I'm like, how are you like sitting here? I can't even sit still that long. But we do little things every once in a while. And I give tips on shorts and stuff. But,
right.
You know, a few companies really helped me to get monetized by pushing my stuff. And then it just stayed after that, you know, certain videos getting enough views because I had some crazy ones of like big DIY screw ups and that made it onto some websites and stuff. So, it was so much effort for like pennies. And we never back then I didn't start really growing until I started doing the shorts because you gain like, you know, a ton of subscribers off those. So I got to like 3,000 just with videos and oh my god, it was brutal getting there. Like it was so disappointing.
That's our thing with our YouTube channel, you know. I mean, like I fought it for so long because I was like, we're a podcast, we're not a video thing, right? Like, you know, I mean, we just do it video because it makes it easier to have a conversation when you can actually see the person, you know, versus like it being a phone call. You know, and Jason, you know, kind of pushed it and pushed it and pushed it to, you know, yeah, but you never know. It might pop up in somebody's, you know, algorithm and maybe they'll watch 2 minutes of it and they'll go, hey, that's kind of cool. Like, but I'll listen to it on the podcast. So we might like, you know, because like I look at it like really who's going to sit and watch a long form podcast on YouTube. Right. Like,
well, if people watch Joe Rogan religiously, you know, when they watch the detailed comedy podcast,
that's true. That's true. You know, I mean, I do know that some guys say that they do put it on the TVs in their shops and, you know, like, and they'll let it play, you know, on the TV in the shop versus playing it, you know, over the, you know, through the podcast thing or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I would like to, maybe that's the next thing I need to look into is like figure out how to, when these go on, cause I mean, we're on Spotify too. I mean, we're not as big as Joe Rogan, but like, that's the thing that I know, like when you watch or when you listen to his podcast on Spotify, like the video is there, like it plays the video, like as you're listening to it or whatever. So maybe I need to try and figure out how we do that.
Yeah, maybe we can collaborate back and forth and cross post.
I
took a look at your YouTube before we started. So, you know, you got like, well, like 300 subscribers or so on there. So maybe I can help you.
Do we have that many? Like,
I can help you with that a little bit too.
I don't even look at it anymore. I'm just like I'm just waiting for that TikTok to get to 1,000 so we can start going live on TikTok.
Yeah. TikTok's crazy. I had a video of me measuring paint get 1.3 million views once, and I got to like 2,400 subscribers, and then it just I'd had a few more videos like of similar things, like with measuring paint, because apparently people really like, you just put like, do a paint measurement on two cars and you do like a Tesla versus Porsche, and people are like, what the fuck is this? They don't know. So it gets a lot of views and comments and stuff, and but then it just all of a sudden went to like TikTok, we get like 200 views on every cool video we post, and I was like, this is silly, like why are we getting, like nothing is viral anymore.
Yeah, and that's kind of the thing, like I don't care about the viral, I don't care about the views as much. I mean, Jason kind of does, because Jason puts the effort into to making the videos and the shorts and stuff when he goes and you know, downloads the or the video off of Restream and whatnot. Where I want to get to that 1,000 is because then we can do lives. And when you do when you do lives, then you have the opportunity to hopefully find more listeners, right? Or more viewers or more whatever, you know. And that was the thing when I was talking to Wesley with I forget Wesley's detail shop name, but I remember, like, it seemed like every time I was on TikTok, like, he was doing a live of him, like, detailing a car, you know, and he would, you know, polish out a panel, and then he'd come over and read some of the comments and talk about it or whatever. And when I had him on the show and was talking to him, he told me, he's like, he said once he got enough, the 1,000 subscribers to go live, and he was going live every day, he said he'd gain, like, 700 or 800 followers a day, you know, and so... You know, I look at it and go like, well, shit, if I gained one, you know, listener a day, like that could be huge for the podcast. And I really think TikTok is kind of an untapped thing for some detail. Cause I see detailers on TikTok that I've never even heard of before, never seen on Facebook. I mean, so I think there's a lot out there that, you know, maybe aren't on Facebook or aren't as much on Facebook or whatever, they're on TikTok. And so that's where I just think like, hey, if we can get on there and, you know, especially like when we do the What's on Your Minds and we go live, like with Restream, like when we do it on the discussion page and everything, like we have the capability to go live on TikTok, you know, so we could go when we do the podcast, we could go live on TikTok, you know, we could do a live behind the scenes, like we could do whatever. So, that's a bigger push than YouTube right now. But
YouTube, if you do the shorts,
yeah,
it's really effective and for growing.
Yeah,
and there's some tricks you can do too.
Well,
like the right hashtags in the title,
right. Yeah,
and that helps a lot.
And that's the other thing we need to try and figure out. And I told Jason today, I think I figured out how we can do it. Because you know, like we have this, but when it records, right? So like when we download this, like there's not a way to split like your screen and my screen, right? So if we do a portrait, like it's gonna be weird.
Yeah.
So I found And I used it one time, but I don't know enough about it, so I got to do some more. I got to do some research on it. But somebody had suggested we start using OBS, because in OBS, I guess, like we could still run it through Restream, but OBS records the audio and the video separately. So then we can download it and then do a short or a reel or a TikTok where, you know, it's like when I'm talking, it's just my camera, and then you're talking, it's just your, you know, okay. we would just have to edit it. So like all those podcasts that you see on TikTok and YouTube Shorts and everything where it fits in the portrait mode of your phone, right? Like it's basically just that. And then they just have to go and edit it, you know, where it's this clip, you know, kind of thing. So I was talking with Jason tonight about OBS and, you know, so we're going to try and look into that and do some how to. So if anybody out there is listening, knows how to use OBS and knows how to do that, please hit me up. I'd love some pointers. Other than that, we're just going to be, I guess, watching a lot of how to's on YouTube for that. But that could end up helping us out too, because then we can make it more like, you know, these professional podcasts that, you know, have editing people and everything to be able to do it that way. So, and then maybe that'll help our YouTube too, because then we could do more shorts and, stuff like that. Yeah. So, well, listen, man, I appreciate you jumping on, man. You know, this was fun to do. I don't, you know, like I said, I mean, we follow each other on Facebook and whatnot, but I didn't know, you know, really a lot about you. So that's the beauty of these shows, is to meet somebody new and learn about them. You know, for anybody who wants to maybe reach out to you and you know, either, you know, pick your brain a little bit or get some ideas or some help on the marketing stuff that you're doing, either with the Facebook ads or AdWords or SEOs or whatever, all the other stuff you do, what's best way for people to find you, man?
Yeah. So if people are interested in marketing services, coaching or whatever, they can email me to get started, sam@wickedautodetailing.com. And then we can schedule a phone call from there. Then if you want to check out my YouTube, just search Wicked Auto Detailing on YouTube. I have a lot of really great, how-to videos and some product reviews. And then we just have a bunch of other random shorts and funny videos and some random detailing tips. Same on my Instagram. I always post tips, which sometimes are real and sometimes are just some detailing comedy. So you can find us Wicked_Auto Detailing on Instagram. And yeah, you know, I really like helping people. So if anyone's looking to grow their business, I can help you with that. We also do like one-on-one training at the shop for PPF and detailing stuff. It's not going to be like, you know, you go to, you know, Rennie Doyle school or something, but you're going to get like real hands-on experience, you know, with someone who does it every day and still is, you know, inside the business. So we do a lot of stuff to help people out here. And then if you're local to Southern California and you just want to come by the shop and check things out and shoot the shit, just look up Wicked Auto Detailing. We're in Santa Ana. You're more than welcome to come by and check things out.
Nice, man. Well, listen, it's still early out there for you. So
yeah, it's 6 o'clock and I'm going to be sitting in so much traffic on my way home right now. So I'm just chilling for a bit before I go home. It's a nightmare. Right.
Yeah. Well, listen, man, enjoy the rest of your evening.
You too, man.
I'm going to get ready to, it's almost bedtime here. Got to get up early in the morning.
You're a hard worker doing a podcast on a late Friday night.
Yeah. Well, at least the good thing about the Friday night ones is, compared to the Wednesday night ones, because the Wednesday night ones come out Thursday morning. So then as soon as I'm done, like I've got to download it and convert it and then upload it and, you know, write out all my description and the title and all that stuff before I go to bed. So it's ready to go.
Yeah.
So it's scheduled to go at 8 o'clock, at least with the Friday ones, it doesn't come out till Sunday evening. So like now I can go and have like a little bit of wind down time before going to bed. And then I do have a client dropping off a car tomorrow for this weekend for a coding. I don't normally do them on the weekends, but you know, he's like, you know, wife's new car. It's hard for
charge him extra for weekend time.
No, it's brand new. So I'm hoping that it'll be more of just like polish and coat, you know, and still charge full price, you know. Hopefully I can knock it out and, you know, just knock it out tomorrow. And then, you know, I mean, I only try to schedule like one coding a week anyway. So doing it on the weekend means that, you know, if I don't get anything scheduled for the week, like I'm still golden, and then I can have,
yeah,
have some time off during the week, nice. which technically is better because the wife's at work, the kid's at school. So then I'm home alone. I don't have anybody annoying me or nagging me or like, let's go do this, exactly, or whatever. Right. So yeah, nice. So it's not too bad, man, but
cool, man.
But yeah, man. Well, listen, I appreciate you reaching out, man. And you know, wanting to come on and do this, and I enjoy the time, and I look forward to talking to you more. And
yeah,
I'd
definitely like to come back on here if you do kind of other.
Yeah, yeah, shows. Yeah. We're always looking for people for topics and stuff like that. And the fact that you do the marketing stuff and whatever, and maybe, you know, we can figure something, like you said, maybe if you know, we try and do something together.
Let's chat about the YouTube thing
or whatever. Yeah, we'll you know, see maybe if we can turn that into a topic and have you back on and cool. Do stuff with that. So. All right, brother, man, I'll talk to you later, man.
Sounds good. You have a great weekend.
All right, man. You too.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. That's Sam. So I appreciate Sam for coming on and, you know, having a nice little chat. So yeah, please go like, share, follow, subscribe, hit the notification button anywhere that you're following us, anywhere that you're listening to us. If anybody has any experience with OBS and can give me some how-tos and some pointers to figure out how we can do this multicam situation. And that's multi-cameras, not Cam Scorier, Cam Watson, as in multicams, multi-cameras. I'd really appreciate it, because otherwise Jason and I are just going to have to try and figure this out. And we are, as you guys know, We're not the smartest bunch. So listen, you guys have a great day, night, evening, weekend, whatever you're listening to this. We appreciate it so much. Take care. Bye.